Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Off and running. Hour number two of our radio program. We welcome in all of our new affiliates here at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. It is the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Coming up, hour from now, Bruce Arians, the head football coach of the NFC champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll stop by an hour from now, right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Our poll question is out. Just curious where people's heads are at, because sometimes when there is clearly something obvious, people will be on the other end of the argument. And we had one caller try to justify LaFleur's decision. I don't see how there is a justification. And maybe we'll try to think of a justification from now until the end of the show. But let me be abundantly clear. I thought it was a boneheaded decision in the moment. This is not one of those situations that I try to do this where I second-guess things. Nope, in the moment, on the couch, I'm watching the game. I called up my old man, actually, when they elected to kick the field goal, and I could not believe it. And you know what my dad's first reaction was? He's screaming. And my dad is not really emotional when it comes to sports, but he was incredulous with Matt LaFleur's decision yesterday to kick that field goal. And my dad, and I can't say the cursing on the radio, but when I called him, he basically said it was Jet-like. It was something that the Jets would do. He could not believe it. And hey, it was a dumb decision. And I'll keep on saying this. Even if you trust your defense, you still may as well go for it. Because then the Buccaneers get the ball back at their own 8. They got to go 92 yards for a touchdown. But scratch it, you don't even need a touchdown in this spot. You still only need 2 first downs. So, if you hold them to 3 and out, they punt the ball back, you're in good field position to go get the touchdown and the 2-point conversion. The field goal there with 2:05 left, 0 cents. I'll sound like a broken record player. If that field goal happens, if that decision happens with 6 minutes left, 7 minutes left, then I could understand it. Then I would agree with it. But with giving the ball back to Brady without a guarantee that you're going to get the ball back, and it being very unrealistic of you getting the ball back with the GOAT only needing 2 first downs, oy, yoy, yoy. But the poll question today, the obvious answer is no, but just curious what the percentages will be. Do you think Matt LaFleur made the right decision to kick a field goal down 8 with a little over 2 minutes left and at the Buccaneers 8? So very early return so far. Trace, if you had to guesstimate the no, because that's the obvious answer, that LaFleur did not make the right decision, what do you think the percentages are right now?
I'd go 80-20. Dangerous, I know, that to have that much disparity, but I feel like there's so much agreement on that being the wrong move. I'm going to crazy. 80-20.
Okay. 91.3%.
Wow. Never would have guessed that.
And we were talking about this right before we got on the air, talking about the craziness that goes on the good old cesspool of Twitter. Usually no one is ever in agreement on Twitter. And there will always be someone that tweets you something stupid to troll you, blah, 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 get under your skin. Let me just take the contrarian take. When you're at 91.3% on Twitter, that shows you how it was a bad decision by Matt LaFleur. If you didn't need any proof, just go to that. When there are 91.3% of people in a poll agreeing on something on Twitter, yeah, I would say 9.9999999 times out of 10, that means you made the wrong decision. Twitter can usually have some problems When everyone is in that much of an agreement, it shows you how brutal and awful and how putrid of a decision it was by Matt LaFleur. Without further ado, we do this every Monday and Friday on CBS Sports Radio. It's Onsides Offsides. Ryan Trace Hickey has five big questions for me in the sports world, and we'll find out what side of the fence I'll be on answering those questions. Let's go.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Ryan, what do you got for me?
All right, Zach, so as you hit on before, Tom Brady in his first season in Tampa Bay is advancing to his 10th career Super Bowl as the Buccaneers defeated the Packers.
Let me just jump in real quick.
Sure.
Gonna step on your toes here. I was asking if I would be rooting for Brady. People kept on asking me that. Or were you rooting for Brady since he's no longer on your team? And all throughout the year, just as long as he's not playing my team in the Patriots, I'm 1,000% rooting for him. And to some people, that's like inconceivable. He left you. Hey, you ripped your heart out. The guy is the greatest player, maybe greatest player in the history of the game, I'll even say. He's the greatest quarterback in the history of the game. Most accomplished. And he was on my team for 20 years, going to 9 Super Bowls and winning 6. I could have zero animosity in my body for Tom Brady. And as long as it doesn't go up against the Patriots, I will always root for him. Even with that being said, I was surprised how intensely I was rooting for him in that first half. Because I texted you in the first half and I said, I knew I was going to be rooting for him, but I'm a little bit over the top. Standing up on third downs, the touchdown pass to Scotty Miller. I'm screaming in my apartment. Also, because Scotty Miller was on the show last week, and we like Scotty Miller, and he hit the over on yards last week. But just seeing that greatness, I'm someone that I love greatness. And when you're able to do something for this long, and you're 43, and all the odds say that you should be retired and enjoying life, and you're still, even without your best effort this year, even without the best team, like, when you look at the way that this season has gone from, I know they have so much talent, abundance of talent, but this was not supposed to be a Super Bowl team finishing the year 11-5 and losing to the Saints twice. And to see, even when, quote-unquote, Brady's not at his best, still get to the game, it shows you how awesome and how unbelievably his career has been. But anyway, you can continue the question. That was just something that was on my mind.
Well, that's a perfect lead-in, Zach, because speaking of unbelievable, I mean, it really is quite frankly remarkable that Brady and the Buccaneers were able to get to this point when you consider all the obstacles they had to clear, including age and circumstances. Tom Brady, at 43 years old, is still somehow playing some of the best football of his career, especially statistically, throwing for 40 touchdown passes in the regular season. Circumstances. He had to go to a new team in an unusual offseason that limited his ability to work with his new teammates. Obviously, no OTAs, no minicamps, truncated training camp, no preseason. And not to mention, he has to go to a new offense that emphasizes the vertical passing game, something that he didn't do a lot of in New England. So onsides or offsides, when you consider the age and circumstances, Tom Brady leading the Buccaneers to the Super Bowl is the most impressive feat of his career.
Offside!
Here's why. It's very impressive. 28-3, coming on back in that Super Bowl, to me, is moment number one. If I had to compare other postseason moments, because you talk about the story. Sixth-round draft pick to winning a Super Bowl, taking over for Drew Bledsoe. Like, that story's legendary, and then that was the birth of the dynasty. But just in Super Bowl moments, he was down 10 to the LOB. I know everyone talks about Malcolm Butler. Brady came storming back. I had a huge fourth quarter down 10. If you had to look at other great playoff moments, AFC Championship game against the Chiefs, the three third down conversions, third and long, three times, Edelman twice, Gronk the other, in overtime to go put the team in the Super Bowl, down 14 twice to the Ravens, that perfect pass to Brandon LaFell in the left end zone, down the sideline. So this is definitely ridiculous. This is a top five moment of Brady's career getting there. Yes, you win next week, then that could be a different conversation. Now, I haven't thought about that yet. I haven't let my mind go there yet. But if he wins next week, I got to think where that ranks, because it's a new system, new team, condensed offseason, and 43 winning a 7 Super Bowl. Yeah, I got to give that a little bit of thought. Or maybe cross that bridge when we get there. But right now, I go offsides because still 28-3, the comeback against the LOB at a bare minimum are the two that's more impressive than yesterday.
So on the flip game of that, on the flip side, I should say, of that game, Zach, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, despite getting home field advantage in the playoffs like they talked about, fell short of making the Super Bowl. Things took a turn in the postgame press conference as Aaron Rodgers was asked about his future in Green Bay, to which he responded by saying, quote, "A lot of guys' futures are uncertain, myself included," end quote. The soon-to-be three-time MVP is under contract for three more seasons, with the Packers moving up to draft Jordan Love back in the first round of last year's draft. The clock on Rodgers' time in Green Bay has been ticking. So on sides or offsides, Sunday was Aaron Rodgers' last game in a Packers uniform.
Offside.
We talked about when that draft pick happened of Jordan Love. All right, eventually they're going to move on to Jordan Love. And I said, if Rodgers wants to play nice, because Rodgers, as we've seen that be a common trend as of late in sports, players, no matter what contract they're on, they could dictate their way out of town if they want to play the game nasty. So yesterday, I could see why people are saying, oh, this is the start of the game getting played a little bit nasty with Rodgers. Maybe he requests a trade. I'd still be surprised if he requests a trade this offseason. I think that's more so, let's make the Packers shake in their boots a little bit and let me go actually get some more help around me. Now, the Packers roster has some good names. Jair Alexander, two picks yesterday. Aaron Jones probably not coming back. You got Williams. You got Dillon, though. You got Adams, who is the best receiver in the game currently. Robert Tonyan had a nice season. I think Rodgers wants a legit number two wide receiver, and I know Marquez Valdes-Scantling had a touchdown. I know he has nice chemistry with Alan Lazard, but MVS and Lazard should be number three wide receivers, not number two wide receivers. So I believe this is Rodgers basically telling the organization, you still want me here for a few more years before you go to Love, but let's do this on my term, so I'll make you think for a little bit that I'm going to demand out just to get what I want. I don't think we've seen the last of Rodgers in a Packers uniform, but judging off a lot of reaction from other people, they're thinking, oh, this thing could be over with him in Green Bay. And, hey, there is a chance that he doesn't want to go by the Packers timeline, and he's still PO'd from what happened during the draft. So I'll go offsides on that. I think Rodgers will be under center and starting at quarterback next year for the Green Bay Packers.
The NFL postseason is one game away from being completed, and there's really been nothing short of drama so far. Super Wild Card Weekend added a new wrinkle as two
Stop
playoff
with that.
Games.
Super Wild Card Weekend. It's Wild Card Weekend.
I put that right in there for you.
This is the quickest.
Extra super.
This is the quickest NFL season I've ever remembered. How many questions we had with COVID? I never thought that they were going to be able to complete this on time. I thought going to a Week 18 was inevitable. How they're going to get through this on time with only one game left? Man. It shows you, and I hate to say it this way because of the seriousness of what's going on in the world, but the NFL, it seems as they always get what they want. And how they were able to get through this season, yeah, there's some hiccups, but nothing that prevented them from playing games without having to move them by a few days. It's really remarkable. And where we were during that first big outbreak with Tennessee, that seems as if that was 2 weeks ago. And now we're about to complete the season in 2 weeks. But anyway, continue.
Craziness. Absolutely craziness. So as you mentioned, Super Wildcard Weekend added two extra playoff games to the slate. Divisional round weekend had some great matchups as the Buccaneers took down the Saints. The Bills suffocated the Ravens, and the Chiefs relied on a backup quarterback to lead them to victory past the Browns.
Chad Henne.
Anything is possible.
Yeah.
So conference championship weekend. They saw a dramatic finish in Lambeau as Tom Brady slipped past Aaron Rodgers while the Chiefs cruised past the Bills. So onsides or offsides, conference championship weekend was more entertaining than divisional round weekend.
So Chiefs-Bills gave you about a quarter of excitement. The first game, the first half was so impressive by Brady. When it got to 28-23, you're thinking it's going to be back and forth, just offense after offense. And then you just saw both offenses really stall in the last few drives. I'm not going to say this was a great conference championship weekend, but you look at the divisional round weekend. All right, so Bills-Ravens, close, but not a lot of points. Packers and Rams, I never thought the Packers were going to lose. That Sunday, Chiefs-Browns was fun. And then also, you did have the final game of the Bucks and the Saints. And the Bucks had a lot of turnovers forced against Drew Brees. Yeah, the four games are awesome in terms of being able to sit down and watch four games, two on Saturday, two on Sunday. I enjoy wildcard weekend more than I thought I would with the three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday. And I can see why people say it's super wildcard weekend, even though I'm not a big fan of the marketing of that. But still, to me, and I kind of thought, and you always hear the cliche, divisional round weekend is the best weekend of football. I still love, with all that's on the line, two games, one day, trip to the Super Bowl on the line. That, to me, is still my favorite weekend out of the year in the National Football League. So I will say, yes, conference championship weekend was more entertaining than the divisional round weekend because Saturday was kind of a dud last weekend. And you compare the two Sundays, I personally just like what was on the line compared to what was on the line last week. So I go conference championship weekend was better on sides.
So a theme yesterday was that conservative coaching ran rampant for both the Packers and the Bills, helping to send both teams home on the losing end. Now, facing a fourth and goal from the 8-yard line down by 8 points with just over 2 minutes remaining in the game, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur decided to kick a field goal and then also trust his defense to get the ball back one last time, which obviously, as we know, didn't happen. Then in Kansas City, Sean McDermott kicked two field goals, one from the Chiefs' 2-yard line and the other from the Kansas City 8-yard line, both of which helped keep a two-score game. So in the postgame, neither head coach regretted their decision to get points on the board. So onsides or offsides, neither Matt LaFleur nor Sean McDermott's decision to kick field goals instead of going for touchdowns can be justified.
Onsides. The LaFleur decision is more egregious. Fourth and goal at the 2 yards. All right, you take the field goal to make it 21-12. That's not enough to compete with the Chiefs, especially when the Chiefs get the ball coming out of the half. I know they only got a field goal, but you got to go for the touchdown there. Because if you get it to 20-17, it's a whole different feel. If you get that touchdown and that fourth down conversion, if you're settling for the field goal, you're settling. You're saying, all right, we're kind of in the game. But what gave you any confidence your defense was stopping Patrick Mahomes yesterday? And the 4th-and-3, when you're at the 8 at that point, and at the time it was 24-12, you got to go for the touchdown in that spot. You can't settle back-to-back. So McDermott, I don't fully give him a pass. I'm more outraged by the LaFleur decision. McDermott, you could tell after the game, he knew he had to go for it on at least one of them, and he knew he made the wrong decision. I can't justify either. You don't beat the Chiefs by kicking field goals, and for the Packers, we'll get into this in the other segment, but it makes zero sense still why they took the field goal in that spot with 2:05 left, giving the ball back to Brady. All right, final question. What do you got?
Well, maybe seems like the Houston Texans could be coming close to finding their next head coach. According to reports from Adam Schefter over the weekend, both Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier and Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy are believed to be arranging staffs in case they were to get the job. Now, obviously, Bieniemy has been the focus of the coaching search the past three seasons, as our own Carrington Harrison pointed out that the Chiefs offensive coordinator has interviewed for 15 jobs over the last three seasons without landing a head coaching opportunity. Now, Schefter also reported that the head coach hiring will not change Deshaun Watson's desires to leave town. So, onsides or offsides, Eric Bieniemy should turn down the Houston Texans job if offered.
I need to know before I take that job if Deshaun Watson's going to stay. So maybe he has to call up Deshaun Watson before that and get a commitment from Deshaun Watson. You can't take that job, in my opinion, where how Bieniemy should get a job that is perceived as one of the better jobs. If this is now perceived as the worst job with how toxic that culture is with Cal McNair and Jack Easterby, the hypnotist, and I can't at least at a bare minimum get a guarantee that Watson is committed, then I wouldn't take that job. So if I'm Bieniemy, and the guy should have got a job by now. It's a joke that he doesn't. I don't know what it is. And we talked about the race conversation of it. And, hey, at this point, it is definitely a valid argument. Because if you want to tell me he doesn't interview well, every time I hear him speak, he sounds like he gives a good interview. If you want to tell me he doesn't call the plays, well, why did Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson get a job? So you're running out of excuses. I thought Derek Johnson put it perfectly when he's on with us. It's something that, Derek Johnson said, it's something that you don't want to think is the case. But as more time goes on, you definitely think it can be a reason. So I'm not telling you it's definitely race. But with that being said, you keep on seeing him get passed up. And it's a guy that you obviously think should get a job. You just wonder if that's the reason why. So at the end of the day, if I'm Bieniemy and you interview 15 jobs and you finally get offered one, yeah, lifelong dream to become a coach. Why don't you take it? I'm not putting myself in that Texans organization unless if I know for sure that Watson's staying. And I can't know that right now with 100% certainty, so I would avoid that Texans job, especially with the incompetence of Cal McNair and Jack Easterby on sides. That's the Onsides Offsides edition of the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Now, I just told you, you can't justify the decision by Matt LaFleur. When we come on back, is there any justification of it? Trace, I'm going to give you the goal. You give me, and we're in both agreement here, correct, DeMundo? It was a terrible decision, correct?
Correct.
All right. You come up with your best explanation on why that was the right call yesterday. Try to explain what we're missing, even though we both think it was a bad call. But I'll give you 5 minutes to come up with your best try at that, and we'll discuss on the other side.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, low, low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, let me get to the poll question here. We've been talking about this throughout the duration of the show so far. The obvious answer is no, but just curious what the percentages will be. Do you think Matt LaFleur made the right decision to kick a field goal down 8 with a little over 2 minutes left and at the Buccaneers 8? 91.3% say no, 8.7% say yes. Trace, I asked you during the break, and you don't agree that it was the right decision. But if I put you in a spot where you were forced to justify that, what would be your justification on what Matt LaFleur was thinking if you had to argue that was the right call?
So, if you had to argue it, I'd say this. 3 interceptions in the second half, right? You're getting after Brady. And with the 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning, you have essentially 4 timeouts. So you can allow, on first down, which happened, a big gain, like Mike Evans got, 9 yards, to, all right, you're still, the game's not over. You basically still have a second chance at life. And we saw it with the intentional offside, which was smart, basically that you reset so it's a first down and 10 with 3 timeouts. So you still have almost 2 opportunities, if you will, to try to stop the Buccaneers and get them off the field. Obviously, it didn't happen, but if you want to play the percentages, it's not one and done. You have the timeouts and the time available to give yourself one defensive lapse early to still not end the game right there. So that's what I guess, if you want to justify, you can try to do some mental gymnastics to jump to get to that point where you say, okay, that makes sense.
Now, once again, I asked you to justify it without you thinking it was the right call. You will agree that is an extreme reach by you, correct?
Oh, 100. I mean, 100%. That's 100%.
Because there's only 205 left. And all Brady needs to do is 2 first downs. And here to me is the most egregious part of it. And I think you're in lockstep in my thinking. If you trust your damn defense so much, wouldn't that even give you more of an incentive to go for it in that spot? Because you're at Tampa's 8-yard line. So you stop them, or, you know, coming off, let's just say you don't get the touchdown, or if you get a let's say you don't get a touchdown, because if you get a touchdown, then you got to kick the ball off, and you're still down by 2, or maybe onside kick it, whatever it be. You probably do kick it off, though, and try to stop them there. That would probably be LaFleur's thinking. I would try to go for the onside kick. But let's just say you don't get the touchdown there. They got to go 92 yards for a touchdown, but forget about that. They still only have to get 2 first downs. So if you're that confident in your defense, even if you allow 1 first down, and then you stop them the next time, you're getting the ball back in great field position. If you think that defense is so good, that defense should get a 3-and-out. So then they're punting from their own end zone, basically, and you get the ball back at, what, the 50 or the 45? Even if you don't, you won't have any timeouts. You go down the field, 2-minute drill. You got probably like, what, I don't know, like a minute, 15, minute 30 left, depending on how long it takes to get them off the field, the 3-and-out, and you got 3 timeouts. And Rodgers marches down the field, and you try to go get the touchdown, the 2 points again. That's, to me, the part that I don't get. 2 minutes left. If you love your defense that much, why wouldn't you still go for it?
And to your point, Zach, you brought up, like, if you go for it, you don't get it, and you're on the 8-yard line. What do we see? Right before the 2-minute warning, Tampa Bay throws it on first down. Third down, game on the line, they throw the ball.
Yeah.
Are you as inclined, if you're Bruce Arians, to throw the ball when you're backed up on your own 8-yard line, where a sack all of a sudden it's a safety, now it's a touch, you know, a 6-point game, and Green Bay's getting the ball back? Like, I wonder if you are not as
No, you're running the football
and
there.
Aggressive, right? Like,
no, and here's also why you're running the football there. As much as they love Brady, as much as they trust Brady, Brady had three interceptions in that second half. And if you throw a pick there, you're what? Giving the ball at what would be then Tampa's 30? There's zero justification for this. And it shows by the Twitter poll where less than 10% of the people are saying that it was a good decision. Now, it's not all on LaFleur in terms of why they lost the game. Rodgers is deserving of his own blame, too. Three times you had a chance, twice to go take the lead, one to go tie the game. Rodgers doesn't get the job done. The MVP, the great Aaron Rodgers, as much as I love him, doesn't get the job done. Rodgers doesn't get a pass. He shouldn't get a pass, and he will get a pass today, I think, from a lot of people, because people just like to break things down on one circumstance, and the biggest talking point from the game yesterday is the LaFleur decision there. Him not trusting his quarterback to get 8 yards for a touchdown. Rodgers is definitely deserving of some blame, though. Offense stalled in the first half. I had to settle for a field goal at 14-10, and then three times in the second half, you had game-changing potential offensive drives, and you only walk away with 3 points. Dave in Iowa, next up, CBS Sports Radio. Dave, go ahead.
Hey, Zach. My question that I want you to talk about is the quarterback play between Aaron and Tom. But my question goes to I played quarterback in high school. I played quarterback in college. And there were times where I'm telling the coach, I got the play. Trust me, I got the play. And I feel like, if we look at that game, Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, they have the trust. I think right before half, Tom Brady told Bruce Arians, keep your kick team on the sideline. I got this. Let me show you what I got. And I don't think there's that trust with Aaron Rodgers and his coach. And to me, I put it on Aaron Rodgers, too. He is an MVP. He's a great quarterback. To me, he should have told Coach, I got this. You keep your kicking team. Mason Crosby, you go to the bench. I got this. Even if he didn't make it, I have a lot more respect for Aaron Rodgers by telling his coach, telling the team, telling the fans, hey, give me one more shot at this. I can do it. And I think the team, that's what they want to see in a quarterback. And I think that's why Tom Brady's the GOAT. And I think Aaron Rodgers, he deserves everything he's got, and he will be a Hall of Famer. But I think that's the difference between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
Dave, appreciate the phone call. It's very simple here. Rodgers, the conversation for him to be a Hall of Famer in that meeting room with all the Hall of Fame voters would be about 2 seconds. Yes, 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 yes. Hall of Famer. Him not getting that second ring, if his career doesn't result in a second championship, I know one ring is great. And I know one ring should be celebrated because how many guys would die just to get one ring? But when you get that ring so early in your career and then you're in that title game 4 times and it wasn't his fault losing to Seattle, the special teams play and the defense choked, we all know that, and they lose in overtime. But the last 3 games, his teams were non-existent against the Falcons and the 49ers. And they get back in the game after a bad first half. I know they fumble the ball coming out of second half. It looks like the Bucs are going to blow them out. Then they get back in that game at 28-23. And I know people are probably going to say, Zach, why you keep on repeating yourself? Because it is still mystifying to me. It is still an enigma to me how Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not going to say that him and LaFleur, I don't think the relationship is great, but no one was questioning it when things were going perfectly this year. Now, beginning of the season, some questions. What happened in the offseason? When this team was entering the postseason, did anyone think about the relationship of Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur? So I'm not going to do that today, that relationship. But when you have 3 drives, 2 to go take the lead, and then 1 to go tie the game, and you only walk away with 3 points, it's not all on LaFleur. It's also on the quarterback. And if we could get Aaron Rodgers on the show, and I know that's not going to happen because we're not Pat McAfee, but if we could get Aaron Rodgers on the show, I want to know this. Why didn't you run the football 3rd and goal? You had a path that looked like you were about to take off, then you threw the football. I don't know if he necessarily gets in. Personally, I think he does get in. But if you don't, you're at the 2. And Ryan, I'll ask you this. I think it's an obvious answer. If it's 4th and goal at the 2, you think LaFleur makes the same decision? I don't think he does. Right? Would you agree with that?
100%. I'm with you. Right, you get 4 yards, they're going for it.
So even if you don't score there and you pick up 6 yards there to get you down to the two, boom, you're going for it. But yeah, if I'm Rodgers in that spot, you know, I know it's not every quarterback to yell at their coach, but maybe I would have yelled at my coach, hey, coach. Maybe I would have just taken a timeout and wasted one of the team's timeout. Hey, coach, we're going for this. You don't want us to go for it? Come take the ball out of my hands, but hey. It's kind of the same thing. We'll play some Shaq Barrett audio later on the show. It was very reminiscent to Game 6 of the World Series this year, where Mookie Betts, once they took Blake Snell out of the game, Mookie Betts said, wow, I can't believe that's happening. Shaq Barrett, the minute they took that field goal, he said, boom, the game's over. Because you know who's on the other sideline. It's the greatest quarterback ever, Tom Brady. He's on that sideline, 2:05 left, only needing 2 first downs. I don't care that he threw 3 picks in the second half. He's going to find a way to get the job done. Matt LaFleur, going to be a long offseason.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Bruce Arians joins the show coming up in 15 minutes. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and this promo is perfect for Bruce, as on Sunday, February 7th, joins CBS for the biggest event in 2021, the Chiefs take on Bruce Arians, Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Super Bowl 55. Coverage begins at 2 Eastern, 11 Pacific with Super Bowl today, leading up to kickoff at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, February 7th. Super Bowl 55 is on CBS. I'm just going to go out on a limb. I don't think Coach is going to be watching too much of the pregame coverage. I think he'll probably be a little bit nervous leading up to that game, as Bruce Arians is 60 minutes away from winning his first ever Lombardi Trophy as a head coach. And for the Kansas City Chiefs, they are 60 minutes away from going back-to-back Super Bowl champions. It would be their third Lombardi Trophy in franchise history. Their last one obviously occurring last year, but before that, you have to go all the way back to Super Bowl IV. You want to look back at 5 careers, let's just say, real quickly. Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Big Ben. Ben, it looks like his career is close to coming to the end. He's probably going to play next year, and then I would imagine he retires after that, but who knows? I don't think he's going to win another Super Bowl. Drew Brees, I would say sometime within the next 3 to 4 weeks, if not sooner, we'll get that announcement that Drew Brees is leaving the game. And then you already have Peyton Manning, who's been retired for 5 years now and is up for the Hall of Fame and is going to get in on the first ballot. And you still have Brady and Rodgers going. Brady, maybe another year or two left. Is there a chance? I know Brady said he's going to play next year and he thinks the Bucs are going to be better, but is there a chance if Brady wins his 7th that he walks away? I'm sure that will be a storyline leading up to the game. And for Aaron Rodgers, he's got close. He's got close the last decade to getting that second ring. Got his first back in 2011 and then has been in the NFC Championship game 4 times since then and has had an offer in those 4 games. You just want to look at all five of those quarterbacks. Brees, going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Brees, all-time leader in passing yards. 1 ring, and I'm not saying his career is disappointing because it's clearly not. That'd be a ludicrous statement, but you feel as if Drew Brees should have won another ring. And you look back, just like Rodgers, he's been close. Minneapolis Miracle, NFC title game against the Rams, losing in the wild card round last year, losing in the divisional round this year. And Brees, for so many years, was knocking at that door and wasn't able to kick that door down and get a second ring. Heck, look at Aaron Rodgers. Got that ring in 2011, taking down the Steelers. Rodgers hasn't been back to the big game since, and right now, if you had to ask, does Aaron Rodgers get another ring? You would say no. You then go to Peyton Manning. Even look at Peyton, one of the all-time great quarterbacks. Peyton got that ring in that 2006 season. Defeated the Pats in the AFC Championship game on that resilient comeback. And then they did take down Rex Grossman, Devin Hester, and the Chicago Bears. I still think that's funny that Rex Grossman started a Super Bowl. But even for Peyton, that quest for the second ring, look how long it took him. And I know he got back to 2 more games, 2 more big games, or 3 more, because they lost to the Saints in the Super Bowl. Then they lost to the Seahawks when he was in Denver. And that's Super Bowl 50 season. And that's, see, this just shows you how funky this game is. That's Super Bowl 50 season. I know he played a good AFC championship game. He wasn't good in the Super Bowl. But that's how he got his second ring, walk off into the sunset. And Peyton deserved to get a second ring when you look at his career. And even someone like Big Ben. Big Ben got two rings very quickly. And Jerome Bettis' final season got his first. In 2009, you had that classic Super Bowl. Kurt Warner, Big Ben, Santonio Holmes, Larry Fitzgerald. The great catch at the end of the game. The toe tap in the back of the end zone. One of the great Super Bowls. James Harrison running down the sideline. 100-yard touchdown at the end of the first half. Phenomenal halftime show. Bruce Springsteen and the legendary E Street Band. For Ben, though, that second ring, he got that second ring, so it doesn't feel as if it's an unfulfilled career because he already has two rings. Ben hasn't been, you know, been to the Super Bowl one time since then where he lost to Rodgers, hasn't got another ring since then. And if you think about it, he's had a lot of talent. Had AB, have Le'Veon Bell. How about this? AB and Le'Veon Bell now in a Super Bowl? I didn't even think about that until now, and we'll see if AB plays. Because of the injury, you'd think he would. And we'll see what the health status is of Le'Veon Bell. But that's wild. How AB, with just the awful things that have happened, all self-inflicted because of him, how now he's in Tampa, of all places, and how Le'Veon Bell basically went from, now let me like a few tweets, get my way out of town, away from Adam Gase, and boom, then I'm in Kansas City, 60 minutes away from winning the Super Bowl. It just illustrates the point for Ben. When Ben won his second ring, did you think that'd be his last if he was going to play another 10, 11 years? No, you thought he'd probably go get another ring. And even Brady, I think this is something that's not talked about enough because, yes, Brady has six. Yes, Brady's been to 10. Brady won that second Super Bowl, 2004 season, 2005 calendar year, February 2005. Yeah, Brady went to two more Super Bowls, lost to the Giants twice. He went 10 years until winning his fourth ring. So it shows you how long it can take for you to get another ring. And even in Brady, that's what makes Brady so remarkable. Brady has had two Hall of Fame careers. The first half, the first 10 years, and then the second 10 years. Three Super Bowls in the first 10, three Super Bowls in the second 10, and maybe a fourth one here, because he's been 19 years as a starter. I know he's been in the league for 21 years. So Brady won three right out of the gate, Rams, Panthers, Eagles, then goes 10 years not winning a Super Bowl, got to two, and since then he's been to five more Super Bowls, 149, 151, 153, lost 52, and now is in Super Bowl 55. So even someone of the stature of Tom Brady had to go 10 years without winning a ring. And yeah, he had three before that. But it just shows you how sometimes this league makes no sense. Because I would have thought Drew Brees would have had two rings. I would have thought Aaron Rodgers would have had two rings. I would have thought that Peyton Manning, even with some of the early career postseason struggles, would not have had to wait until the final year of his career to get ring number two. And even someone like Big Ben, who got too early, he was never able to get that third. So it shows you how tough it is to win in this league. Yes, winning one ring is a remarkable accomplishment. Getting two rings is a remarkable accomplishment. Getting six, it's ridiculous. It's unheard of at the quarterback position. So, yeah, we should still appreciate, and all those five players that I mentioned, they've all had great careers. For Rodgers, will easily be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but if he ends with just one ring, you'll say, that career should have netted more than one ring. Yeah, say the same for Brett Favre. Both Green Bay Packer quarterbacks. Both only got one ring. And I know you say only, and you go, Zach, come on. Lighten up a little bit. Lay off the criticism a little bit. Just with the careers that they've had, you would have thought they would have got more than one ring. And you lump Brees in that category too. 855-212-4CBS. John in New Jersey, next up, CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Zach. How you doing? Love your show.
Appreciate it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions. I was talking to the guy who took the call. First is, on the play, you know, when Tampa had the ball with like 2 minutes to go in the end of the game, and they got a 9 yards on the first down, and then it was second and one, and
the penalty? I mean,
yeah, they took the penalty, so they got the first down, and, you know, so they could save like one of their timeouts.
Yeah, why didn't they decline it? It's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, why didn't they decline it? Did they ever bring that up?
I did not hear why after the game. Did it come back to haunt them? So you probably don't hear much about it. But what else?
Okay, then the other one, again, it probably wouldn't have mattered. But when Buffalo was down by, they scored the touchdown, and they went for two, which would have cut the lead to 15. But if they would have just kicked the extra point, they would have been down 16. So they were going to need two scores either way.
Yeah, and then it ended up being 17.
Yeah.
That made no sense to me. I don't get why you wouldn't just take the extra point.
Yeah.
It's so unlikely anyway, and they had to settle for the field goal late. But in that case, you got to go get the two touchdowns and the two-point conversions. So, yeah, it's that late in the game. The chances of you coming back are slim to none. It didn't make sense. I will say, though, if you want to go back earlier, imagine, and hey, it's tough to get on the floor for, and there's many things to get on the floor for yesterday. It's tough to get on the floor for going for two when he did because of the fact that the receiver just dropped the football. Now, the play call worked. If you don't go for two there, you're down seven in that final spot, not eight. If you're down seven and it's fourth and goal, 2:05 left, you're not even thinking going for the field goal because you don't need the field goal than the touchdown. You could try to justify that in the eight. You would have just been going for the touchdown on the PAT, so that's also something to think about. B.A., Bruce Arians next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.